morning. It's great to see everyone. On Thursday night, I started talking about the fact that the devil is our number one enemy. From 1 Peter chapter 5. I need everyone who was not there on Thursday night, whether you were teaching or you were out of town, I need you to go listen to that lesson on the web. Go to our website, acocg.org, and listen to it. Because what I'm going to be talking about for the next several weeks is this whole topic. Are you with me? And on Thursday night, I really started to set it up. And I'm going to continue from there this morning. On Thursday night, I started talking to us about how Satan is not an opponent. He's not even a rival. The Bible says he's an enemy that is out to destroy us, that is out to devour you and me. Are you with me? And this is what you and I need to pay attention to in this life. Because the way we really live, and ultimately one day, if we are going to end up seeing God's face, it's going to be determined by if you fought this enemy or not and won. It is that simple. Amen? And I say this because, like I said on Thursday night, we get only one chance at this life. This is not a game. If you lose a game in the playoffs, you come back next year and play another game. This life that you and I call life, you get only one chance at it. Amen? We got to take this very, very seriously. I can't stress this enough. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be alert and self-controlled. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, the Bible says. Amen? And I want to kind of pick up from there. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. But before I forget, one more thing. In a few weeks, many of us are going to be in San Antonio. They closed the online registration, but they're going to open it up tomorrow because there's 900 seats left at the AT&T Center. The capacity is 17,000. And so they're going to open it up for the 900 seats left tomorrow. So if you still want to attend, you need to get on the web tomorrow. Amen? And once we reach the capacity of 17,000 and you show up in San Antonio, you're going to watch everything from the Gonzales Center. You will not be allowed to go to the AT&T Center because the capacity is 17,000 and the fire marshals, you know, they're not going to make an exception in our case. Amen? So if you still want to go, they will open up the registration tomorrow for the 900 seats left and you can register. Amen? You can still register in person in July. If you get there, it simply means you can't go to the AT&T Center. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 12. You and I are taken back. Long time ago, we don't know when this was. In Revelation 12. Beginning verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Amen? Notice, like I said on Thursday night, it wasn't God that was fighting against the devil. Satan is not equal with God. It was Michael and his angels. It was God's angels that fought against the devil and they kicked his bum out. Good for them. Bad news for us. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. You know, this is a very interesting passage. It talks about how Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that is the devil. And notice, it says, and the dragon and his angels fought back. I've read this passage so many times. I read that the other day, I said, wait a second. He did fight back. Satan did get out of heaven quietly. They fought back. They resisted. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. Amen? It says, that ancient serpent that leads the whole world astray. Satan is filled with fury. He is angry. This is not somebody to be fooled with. This is not somebody you even want to be around. The Bible says he's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. And he comes after you and I every single day in this world, in some fashion or another. Amen? And that's why the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 to be alert and self-controlled. Now, I want to show you a little movie clip. It's really a modern-day parable. Okay? Now, I apologize for the lighting in here. We're going to try our very best. But if we're back in the theater, you would have loved this. But it's not getting high definition, but we're going to do our best. But it's a modern-day parable. And I want to see if you can pick out the characters. We're talking about how Satan operates and how he tries to deceive us. Take a look at this. You'll recognize maybe one or two faces in there. Mike Tolliver showed me this several weeks ago when I went to say bye to his mom. He sat me down and he gave me a private screening. And it was very interesting. He wasn't actually watching the movie. He was watching my reaction to the movie. And afterward, I go, boy, that's awesome. And so really, we're actually the first one seeing this outside of the church in San Antonio. Okay? He's my very good friend, so I get first crack at this stuff. But I want you to take a look at this, and we'll continue afterwards. Amen? The sound is very crucial. And so we're going to start this, watch it, and see if you can pick out the characters. Did you pick out the angel? Angela? Obviously, Lucifer in the back, who started off by saying his name was Christian. The Bible says the devil masquerades as an angel of light. He never reveals his true self. I love the repentance drive. Did you pick up the 2 Corinthians 7:10? Right underneath it. And at the end, I know the picture wasn't very good. Empty car. Now you're the devil's destination. You're out of gas. And you're gone. He's got you. Satan got him. That's the whole point of the story. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now let's look in Genesis chapter 3. I want to say one or two things and then we'll be done for this morning. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and was also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" We'll stop there for now. Notice, Satan was never invited into the Garden of Eden. He slithered in. He made his way in. He was never invited. Just like Steve Johnson played in the character, and again, sorry about the lighting, when he stopped to pick her up, he was out there. And all of a sudden he made his way into the car without realizing it. That's the way the devil works. He just shows up. You don't have to invite him in. I promise you, he will show up. Are you with me? So the first thing you and I need to understand is, in every single instance, we have an uninvited guest. You don't have to invite him. He will show up by himself. Eve knew that the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of good and evil, was off limits. We know that from Genesis chapter 2, in verse 17, when God gave the command for them not to eat of that fruit from that tree. Eve knew that tree was off limits. But you see, Satan is very sneaky. He's very cunning. Satan's whole idea was to get Eve deceived so that she would disobey God. And so we're talking about disobedience through deception. That is one of the primary ways in which the devil works. And I will pick up, obviously, I'm going to talk about this some more on Thursday night. I can talk about this for a whole month. Because there's just so much in here. But one of the primary ways in which the devil operates is to get us to disobey through deception. Notice what he said in verse 4. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing God from evil." Knowing good from evil, I'm sorry. Again, notice, the first sin was not lying. The first sin was disobedience. Did you see it? "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. As a matter of fact, God knows if you eat of this fruit, you will know good from evil. What is Satan doing? Satan is saying, God is a liar. Do you see it? He's saying, God is the one lying to you. In other words, he's got some ulterior motive for not wanting you to eat of this tree. You will not surely die. For God knows if you eat of it, you'll become like him. Satan is calling God the liar. We talked about this on Thursday night. Who is the liar? It's the devil. John 8. When he speaks his native language, the Bible says. Are you with me? You see, once Eve disobeyed, all the world changed. Everything changed. She ate, she gave some to Adam, and that was all she wrote. Was still suffering consequences to this day. And I bring that up because a lot of times, you know, when we fall into sin, we think, well, I'm just the one doing this. Let me tell you something. Your sin affects the lives of people around you. Your sins may even affect your children and their children after them. You and I need to be very, very careful. Because there is no such thing as private sin. When Satan gets you to disobey God, it is going to affect the lives of other people. Amen? That is his number one aim, is to get you and I to disobey God. But he does it through deception. He will never give you the full picture. He will never tell you the real story. I thought that video really depicted him. We know from Scripture in Matthew 25 that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But like we just read this morning in Revelation 12, he knows that his time is short. He's not going there by himself. He's trying to get as many people as he can to his destination. That's what this is all about. It's not rocket science. And that's why, like I said, I began to say on Thursday night, every single day, our goal has got to be, you know what? I have got to fight against this enemy. I got to make sure that I get to my destination. If not, your life on this earth was a total waste. Satan will take you out. I am so excited that today, in this world that you and I live in, we got this book. It's so clear. We can read it. We know what God's decrees are. We know what his commandments are. And my Bible tells me that his commandments are not burdensome. That when we follow them, we have life. When we follow them, one day we get to see this God that created all this stuff out of nothing face to face. But guess what? The enemy doesn't want that to happen. And he will keep on scheming. He will keep on doing stuff such that we don't follow God. I'm going to stop there for now, and I'll pick up on Thursday night. But again, you notice, you go read the rest of the story. God, in his mercy, didn't destroy Adam and Eve right there. He could have. He could have just said, you know what, you guys disobeyed me. Bam! It's over. Now, he sent them out of the garden. Are you with me? But he could have destroyed them right there. You see God's mercy? You see God's grace? Like Jeff was talking about this morning, yes, we can be forgiven, but there are times when you will suffer the consequences of your sin. They've just sinned. Yeah, God is going to forgive them, but he's going to say, guys, out. And the reason is very simple, if you think about it. Remember, in the garden, in Genesis 2, there was another tree called the tree of life. Are you with me? That one may eat of and never die. Can you imagine? Here you are. You are in sin. And you can just keep plucking from this tree of life. And just keep eating of it such that you never die. God says, get out. Because God couldn't let this continue. Are you with me? And we're going to see that tree again. You will see it again in Revelation at the end. Are you with me? When we get to the other side, that tree is going to be there. But God had to get them out so that they couldn't just stay in there in that state of sin and continue to eat of the tree of life. Are you with me? But as we walk out of here today, and as we started talking about on Thursday night, again, I encourage you, if you were teaching on Thursday night, acocg.org, click on sermons. Last Thursday's message is on there. Okay? And go listen to it. Disobedience through deception. I don't know about you. I don't like being lied to. I do not like being deceived. It is time for us in this church, as children of God, to get upset with the devil. Because a lot of us, we've been listening to Satan's lies. Satan has been deceiving us. And it's time for you to get angry at the devil by obeying God. Are you with me? There's got to be some indignation in here. If not, he will lead you to the wrong place. And it's my prayer that nobody within my hearing this morning will end up with Satan for eternity. But that we'll all make decisions that, you know what? If the Bible says it, I am going to obey it. If the Bible says it, I'm going to live according to it. Let me tell you something. I am not the enemy. Yes, I get up every week and, you know, I preach the word and I don't mince words. But I'm not your enemy. I really am not. I really love you. Okay? All I'm trying to do is get us to obey the scriptures. I know a few of you think I'm your enemy. I'm not. Okay? I'm really a nice guy once you get to know me. I was happy. I was very happy last night. Yeah. I prayed three prayers. God answered two of them. It's okay. He said, what is he talking about? But I'm not the enemy. Amen, church? Amen. I am not your enemy. Like Paul said to one of the churches he wrote, he says, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? I will continue to preach the word. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm not going to water it down. Amen. I will say it like he says it. Right. And call us to live according to it. Amen, amen, church? Amen. But that's one of the primary ways the devil works. Disobedience through deception. Amen. It's time to stop falling for his lies.
Amen.
It's time for you to stop being deceived.
Right.
Amen, church?
Amen.
We'll continue Thursday night. God bless.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your spirit that leads us, God, not only in your path, God, but it also convicts us of the things that we've been deceived about. Thank you so much, Father, for revealing to us the path that we're supposed to walk on, Father, even if we choose to disobey it sometimes, and always giving us a way home. God, thank you so much for showing us that we are in a battle. God, this is not a life that we live without opposition, that we must face it, Father, with courage and with perseverance. God, I pray for all the hearts that heard this message, just as Richard prayed, Father, that you would help all of us to make it home. God, that we wouldn't be led astray, Father, in a way that we just aren't listening to the things that are so obvious in your scriptures. God, help us to fight the fight. God, help us to realize and open our eyes to the things that we've been deceived about. God, help us have the courage not to be afraid of any pain or suffering that may come from turning towards your path. God, and give us strength. God, give us love for one another. God, help us not to be deceived into thinking that we are each other's enemy, but God, truly to recognize who our enemy is. God, who tries to break our relationships and keep us apart from each other so that we won't follow your ways. God, we need your help to be able to do this. Continue to open our eyes. Continue us to give love for one another so we wouldn't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness and so that we can always make it home to you. God, we need this. God, we're grateful for all the ways that your word comes to us. God, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.